I'm Marilyn Werner.
And were you born in the state of Wyoming?
No, I was actually born in Utah, but I am third generation of this family in Wyoming.
What was your childhood like?
Oh, it was kind of wild. I'm one of four children. I was the baby, the youngest one. And my mother was born here. My grandfather came here from England, but my mother was very into teaching. We were teachers all the way around, seemed like. Her mother was a teacher also. Mm-hmm. And her mother and her father actually met each other after they came to the United States, and with my grandmother being a teacher and my grandfather being a rancher.
Mm-hmm.
So it was kind of interesting. And they lived first down on the Platte River, mm-hmm. and they had to cross the river to get to their property. And my grandmother, and the story my mother always told me, my grandmother was scared to death of the river. Of course, in the springs, they would flood so badly
right. In
those days. And so Grandpa sold that property and bought some property up on what we call Cold Springs now. It's an area up actually between Laramie Peak and those other mountains that are west of there. I can't think of them right now. But anyway, that's where I grew up at.
What would be your best memory of your childhood, or maybe a worst memory of your childhood?
Well, the basic thing is, okay, of the four kids, I was the only one that attended the country school that my grandmother taught and my mother taught. And mother was actually, I became the person in charge of the school system in Converse County at that time. But as I was growing up, I went to those same schools and went to school with all of her friends' children. It was really kind of fun. I was the only child in my grade.
Wow.
And we had a recitation bench, so we all went up and chit-chatted. And I remember going home one night telling my mother learned all about different bred pigs, the breeding of them, different names. And she looked at me and she says, "You're not supposed to be learning pigs." And I said, "Well, I didn't. I was just eavesdropping on the class that was talking about it." So going to a country school was really quite an experience.
How about your worst experience?
Oh, I broke my leg. I broke my ankle twice because we were always outside playing for recess. Country kids don't like sitting, reading and all that stuff in there. And we were playing probably kick the can and chasing each other around. But anyway, I stuck my foot in the dumb animal hole and didn't see it. And I kept going and my foot didn't. So that was probably my worst. And then the snowstorms. We'd get pretty heavy snow in the winter, and sometimes we didn't get to have school. But we were fortunate. We had a telephone line in those days, one of those crank-up jobs. And they would call around and say, "Oh, the bus can't get through today." My mother, when she went to that school, had to ride a horse. So we thought we were pretty classy. We got to ride in a car.
How would you describe a perfect day when you were young?
Oh, almost every day was a perfect day to me. I loved being in the country. We all did the work. I mean, we had a hired man because my dad went to the war while I was just a child. And so we had hired men there, but everybody had to do it. The only thing I didn't like to do was milk the cow. But I loved going down to the garden and working in the garden. We always raised a large garden. And I got to go out on the hay crew. Sometimes I would drive the team that pulled the wagon so they could throw the hay on the wagon. Those days they were just starting to get tractors going. And during the war, you couldn't get equipment like that, so
right.
We did it with horses. And the draft horses, I'm not very tall, and they had huge feet. And Mother always told me, "Well, you run out and give them their oats during the noon hour while everybody's eating, and then they'll be ready to go back to work." And I think, "Oh, if I slip, they're going to kill me." But I loved the ranch. I really did. It was so fun. We'd get nasty snowstorms sometimes, but everybody, you know, just you live how you live. It was okay. Loved it.
Did you or your family have any traditions that have been passed down through your generations?
Well, we were always volunteers for everything. If everybody was doing something, they needed volunteers. My parents did, too, and I guess I just grew up being a volunteered kid and liked that, too. I enjoyed it. It was fun. You got to do different things. That was neat.
You say you're from generations of teachers.
Yes,
from your grandmothers and your mothers.
Yeah.
Was there a teacher who had particularly strong influence in your life?
No, not really.
Not really?
There were too many of us to teach. You didn't have that one-on-one. You did and you didn't. When I got to come to town school to go to high school, I had a teacher that taught Latin. She was a friend of my mother's, and she was always telling me, shape up, your mother wouldn't like that. And I think, you know, in the end, I said I didn't care for her when I was in school. But in the end, I look back, she was an awfully nice woman, yes.
What was your life like when you were first starting out as a ranching or living in Wyoming?
Oh, yeah, let's see. I've lived all the time here. Actually, we lived in Salt Lake City when I was born and then spent our summers always on the ranch because my mother was the only child. Mm-hmm. And the ranch was to be hers eventually anyway.
While you were in the ranch, was there a best time that you had or a story that you have in the life in the ranch?
Oh, yeah. We loved summer because we could. Mother had a little kind of a buggy thing that she used to ride when she was a girl. And my brother just above me and I used to get the single horse in. We'd put the harness on him and we'd go buggying all over the place. It was just, you know, living in the country was just such an open and free area. We didn't get to see our neighbors a whole lot, but we had an awful lot of fun just amongst ourselves. When I got in school and then I had my own saddle horse and I did go, it was about 5 miles over to the closest neighbor and play with their girls because they had 4 girls. And that was fun. I didn't have to play with my brothers.
5 miles to next neighbor.
To the ones, to where they had kids.
What lesson has your work life has taught you? What did you do?
Oh, I think I learned to accept life as it was and learned to find pleasure. My mother was that way. You always found pleasure in what you did. If you do not get pleasure out of it, then don't do it. And I've kind of gone and spent my own life doing that same thing and teaching my own children pretty much the same.
You said you were a teacher.
I taught school. When I had to move to town with my children for high school, too. But I had 3 children. There were about 2-3 years between them. So when the oldest child was daughter, we didn't want to send her to town to farm out like a lot of people were doing with their kids. And I said, no, I'll go in with them. And I'd been doing substitute teaching in country schools because I knew where they were. And our superintendent was very kind. I wasn't a full degree teacher, but he said, oh, I'll give you work, Marilyn, not a problem. So, again, it was just another learning experience, and we just all learned together. And the oldest started high school, and the youngest was in the 5th grade. So it was a while in town for school.
Comparing to your childhood growing up mm-hmm. and to kids now mm-hmm. and how, for education purposes, would you like to make any comments?
Oh, the education system has changed quite a bit. Like I said, when you go to a country school, you hear everyone's recitation, so you learn as you go just by listening. When I was teaching school, I taught 3rd grade and 6th grade. 3rd graders I loved because they're so open and so willing to learn. They want to learn. 6th grade was great because that was just before they moved over to junior high. And when they get over there, then they become kind of sophisticated, I guess they call that. But I think our children nowadays, I kind of feel they grow up too quickly. They don't learn to be happy with just each other as friends. They always got to be doing something or buying something or going somewhere, I guess is probably more that. And I think that in the process, they've lost a lot of joys that we could have all had. I had that pleasure.
In relation to that, is there a message you would like to leave your children or future generation to come?
Oh, yeah. Stop and smell the roses. I don't know a better way to say it.
Excellent.
You take a little time to see something different, you might really, really enjoy it.
What is your earliest and our favorite memory of the fair or funniest moments?
Well, when I was a little girl, we really didn't come in that much. My grandfather, mother's dad, raised horses and always showed them at the fair. And they had things that way. Mother went a lot, but I think probably because we were without, dad wasn't there, I think mother felt like, well, she didn't really, she'd come in and go to some things, but first time I remember really enjoying the fair was mother said, well, if you want to get in 4-H, you can go to the fair. to just go in and flop around. No, we're not doing that. So I jumped into 4-H and learned how to sew and cook and stuff like that. And one year I really wanted to go. And so she said, well, if you really make something nice on the sewing machine, you can probably win a trip there. And I did.
What did you...
Well, I just... It was a dress, kind of a little party dress for... I was probably 7th or 8th grade. But I did win a trip in, and I was so happy. It was the 8th grade because I was getting ready to come in for school, high school. And I thought, gee, I need some dresses or something to wear. But, no, the fair was always fun, and they had excellent 4-H programs here. We really did. We were very fortunate with that.
What has changed in your family ranch or farm since your childhood?
Well, it got mobilized. I got married and married a sheep herder, so I went north of town. We didn't put up hay like we did at my mom's. Different type of life altogether, but both of them had an awful lot to teach you that you learn from. And I'm being a teacher, I'm always learning. We do that forever. Yeah. But, yeah, the North Ranch was very different. It was just grazing. We had quite a few sheep when I married my husband. And then the coyotes and the eagles got to working on them, and we really had to sell them. We couldn't afford to feed those animals and birds that much of our livelihood. So then we became a cow outfit, and that was interesting. And we bought some range right at the foot of Laramie Peak. And so in the spring, after the calves were all born and branded, well, we'd move them to the mountains, and they'd summer up there. Oh, it was beautiful up there. And they'd just graze all over the place and little streams and stuff. It was gorgeous. And then we'd stay in there until, we'd ship out of up there our calves. We'd sell them as calves, yearlings. And then when we'd get through shipping things, why, then we'd come down off the mountain. And quite often it was late October, I know, before we'd come off of there. And we came out of there more than once in a blizzard. So. But the animals are smart. They know where they're going.
Yeah.
They get used to it. Yeah, it was cool.
What changes are for the good, and what changes do you feel are not for the better?
Oh, I think the government gets into our business way too much. And I know when they begin protecting, well, for instance, the eagles, they protected them. We couldn't do anything about them. They put us out of one business but into another. Most ranchers, I think, the ones that I know anyway, have always felt the government gets into our business too much. And even now they come around and they want to come in and count birds, so we can't have this and we can't have that. They love prairie dogs. Prairie dogs ruin the country out there because they just burrow holes, and then your horses and your cattle fall with their feet and they break ankles too. And it's not good. But then we've got better equipment, more sophisticated ways of getting water. We have wonderful wells, and used to have windmills on them, and now we put a solar pump on them, and boy, that's godsend. You kind of give a little, but you also get a little with the changing of times, I think.
What do you think the future holds for your land?
Oh, boy, I don't know. The drought we've had this year has been extremely hard. But we have minerals, oil and stuff like that, which helps you to survive. I hope that the land stays so it's usable both ways. And it can be, and it should be. When one takes over the other, it's just kind of not a good mix. You need to mix it up a little bit. But like I said, this year with the drought, it's been extremely hard. And they compare it to the one that I guess it was in the 30s, the early 30s. I remember my parents talking about it, but I was not aware of it, as little people don't get aware of things until it bothers them.
Right. What advice would you give to the next generation of ag producers in the state?
Well, if you can hang in there, I think it's always kind of the weather seems to go around and come around. It's a good, clean life. You just enjoy the birds and the animals and God's good green earth. I think that's probably the most enjoyable. And if you don't choose to have a lot of people on your property, you don't have to have them there. So I think it's some freedoms that we will be giving up. I don't know. We have a lot of friends that come out from the cities, and we love them all. But for just everyday people tromping through us, no, we don't appreciate that.
Is there anything else would you like to share with me about your life or ranch or your...
Oh, it's been an interesting one. You talk to the old timers especially, and God, they can spin yarns that you just absolutely, is that really real? And it is. That's the funny part of it. But yeah, like my grandfather came over on a ship with his cousins, and his father was a doctor, actually, and Dad was not the firstborn son. Of course, back in those days, English people were very that way. Mm-hmm. So Grandpa would come over, and the neighbors used to go, and my mom always laughed about it, too. He was a gentleman rancher. When he ran out of money, he'd go tripping back to England, get more money from Dad, mm-hmm. I assume. Mm-hmm. But it was interesting that way. The history of it's really, you know, people came here in those years. Some of them were wealthy. The Swan Company was a wealthy company. I won't deny that. But other people came as immigrants and really worked hard for their thing. I think to live on a ranch, you do automatically work hard. There's no way around it. But for some of them, it was a new life. Some of our countries back in those years were depressed and having hard times. But they came over here with hopes, and I think that was so important. And that we don't seem to worry about so much anymore. But if you have a ranch, generally it stays in the family. And for someone to just come in and be on a ranch, it would be difficult, I think, for them. They have a lot more equipment. You do a lot more because things are more available. Mm-hmm. But I doubt you could go back and enjoy the other life. I really do. But I'll always enjoy my memories.
Would you like to say anything else?
Oh, I think if you can enjoy whatever you do, you should enjoy it. And if you don't enjoy it, go get something else to do. That's my big wisdom for anybody that's starting out.
Well, thank you very much for the interview.
Oh, thank you.